The FAA fights back against NATCA's hyperbole. A turboprop is down in Venezuela. 46 are lost. And Seattle Avionics releases Voyager 4.0. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 25th, 2008. As the Federal Aviation Administration fights to keep from being forced back to the bargaining table with air traffic controllers, the Controllers Union continues escalating its rhetoric in its effort to rattle the public's faith in the FAA's competence. The latest round in the bout has the National Air Traffic Controllers Association claiming a supervisor at the FAA's Oakland Air Route Traffic Control Center turned the volume down on the facility's emergency frequency monitor just as controllers were straining to hear a distress call. The radio traffic in question concerned a van's RV-7, which went down the afternoon of February 17th north of Sacramento, California. The pilot, who was the lone occupant, died in that crash. The union's facility representative, Scott Condi, said in a union statement, quote, "There is absolutely no justification for the supervisor to turn down the guard channel. This frequency is required to be continuously monitored at every FAA air traffic facility and area. This is to ensure coverage and allow controllers to try and gather information on aircraft in distress. This can dramatically reduce the time that it takes to get assistance to the downed aircraft," unquote. FAA's Ian Greger told ANN, quote, "In this case, as usual, the facts do not support the union's melodramatic rhetoric. Indeed, NATCA's national president, Pat Forey, admitted to reporters several weeks ago that the reason the union is attacking the FAA is to force us to reopen contract negotiations," unquote. Greger added that the volume on the receiver, which had been at a very high level, was reduced by the supervisor only after he determined that another FAA facility was handling the report, and that the action had no effect on the outcome. The risks of leaving the volume up were not addressed in the union's press release. Greger says Oakland Center was busy at the time, with one of the controllers on duty handling 11 aircraft. Quote, "It seems reasonable to me that the supervisor wanted to make sure that the controllers were doing their job and not being distracted by a situation that was beyond their control," unquote. You can read more details in the print version of this story at aero-news.net. There are apparently no survivors following the Thursday evening crash of an ATR-42-300 airliner in southwestern Venezuela. The Associated Press reports the aircraft was owned by a small Venezuelan airline called Santa Barbara. The plane was reported missing 30 minutes after takeoff from Mérida en route to Simón Bolívar International Airport near Caracas. Manifests indicate 46 persons were on board the turboprop. Mérida Emergency Management Director Noel Marquez says search crews were dispatched to the mountainous region of Collado del Condor after nearby residents reported hearing a great crash. Helicopter crews located the wreckage Friday morning at an altitude of about 13,000 feet. A firefighter told local media the plane appeared to have suffered a direct impact and was, quote, "practically pulverized," unquote. Weather at the time was good, but with some fog at higher elevations, there is no official word yet on the cause. Seattle Avionics Software released its Voyager Flight Software System version 4.0 on Friday. The company says it merges a fast DirectX charting engine with version 3.6's fuel stop auto-routing. DirectX technology makes 4.0 extremely fast, capable of updating the screen more than 50 times a second if your hardware will keep up, allowing completely smooth zooms and pans. Voyager 4.0 can also display any combination of computer-generated charts with scanned, geo-referenced sectional and IFR charts, which look identical to paper charts. This enables charts with overlaid weather, TFRs, and aircraft position. The company claims over 200 new features and offers demos and a free version of the software on its website, seattleavionics.com. The B-2 Spirit Bomber is the most expensive aircraft the U.S. Navy has, and today it has one fewer. Both pilots ejected safely before their B-2 crashed in a plume of black smoke on the grounds of Anderson Air Force Base in Guam on Saturday morning. Both pilots are with the 509th Bomb Wing, according to Pacific Air Command. Because development costs were spread out over a total fleet production of only 21 B-2s, the cost per plane was $1.2 billion a copy. Saturday's crash was the first for a B-2. A board of officers will investigate. Up next on ANN, news from Healy Expo in Houston. MD Helicopters chooses Garmin as standard equipment. Eurocopter completes U.S. certification of its entire line. And Bell provides an update on its 429 program. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 25th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Hilly Expo opened in Houston yesterday, but there were plenty of manufacturer announcements that didn't wait for the official start of the show. On Friday, Garmin announced MD Helicopters Incorporated has selected the company's panel mount products as the standard avionics package for its current production aircraft, including the 600N, 520N, 530F, and 500E. Craig Kitchen, MDHI's chief operating officer, said Garmin offers an exciting enhancement of MD's standard build. Quote, "Many of our customers are familiar with Garmin equipment, and we are confident they will appreciate the advanced capabilities it will provide," unquote. The new MD Helicopter's avionics panel will include Garmin's GMA-347 audio panel, the GNS-430W all-in-one GPS navcom, the SL-40 navcom transceiver, and the GTX-328 Mode S transponder. The panel will also include Garmin's GI-106 course deviation indicator and a 35,000-foot encoder. Initial deliveries of MD helicopters with Garmin avionics are expected with newly signed purchase agreements in 2008. On Saturday, Eurocopter announced its EC-225 received FAA type certification on January 30th. The entire Eurocopter line is now certificated in the U.S. The EC-225 performed its maiden flight in November 2000. The latest addition to the Super Puma family has a max takeoff weight of just over 11 metric tons and was developed for passenger transport, particularly offshore and VIP missions, and public service missions such as search and rescue. The 225 has a new main rotor system, a reinforced main gearbox, new engines, and an innovative integrated control and display system. The EC-225 has a flight envelope that extends to an altitude of 20,000 feet, with operating temperatures between minus 30 and plus 50 degrees centigrade. A specific certification procedure to approve the aircraft for flight in icing conditions is planned in the next few weeks. Bell Helicopter provided an update Saturday on its 429 program. Bell's 429 program director, Neil Marshall, said performance has been outstanding. Quote, "We currently have three 429 aircraft flying, which have accumulated over 600 flight test hours, and each has accomplished all our goals during the initial phase of testing," unquote. Officials at Bell confirm the 429 has met or exceeded all the performance parameters established based on input from customer groups. Bell says its engineers set out to create a flexible, stable aircraft that will have the cabin size and performance characteristics of an intermediate twin at the price of a light twin. Bell claims over 260 orders from about 30 different countries for deployment in law enforcement, emergency medical, and offshore service. Certification of the 429 is targeted for late this year. On Hilly Expo's opening day yesterday, Avadyne announced its real-time, color, lightning-based TWX-670 tactical weather detection system has received ETSO authorization from the European Aviation Safety Agency, following its TSO from the FAA last year. Tom Harper, Avadyne's director of marketing, says the authorization streamlines the delivery process for OEMs whose European customers have ordered aircraft equipped with a TWX 670. The 670 provides real-time weather avoidance capability out to 200 nautical miles, especially valuable for customers outside the U.S., where data-link graphical weather is not available. It can also display lightning in the 0 to 25 nautical mile range, providing tactical weather detection and avoidance capability. Avadyne CEO Dan Schwinn noted that rotary wing aircraft are often compelled to operate in situations where data-link-based weather information is either unavailable or insufficient. Quote, "It's the latest advancement offered by our safety systems group, which was formerly Ryan International, and builds on the expertise and experience they gained as developers of the original StormScope," unquote. MSRP is about $8,000. Still ahead, two GO Airlines pilots will now get to sleep in. Bombardier's board greenlights the C-Series, and Scandinavian Airlines settles with Bombardier over its Q400 issues. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 25th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Two pilots under suspicion for napping on an inter-island GO Airlines flight have been suspended by the carrier, pending the completion of an FAA investigation. As ANN reported, GO Flight 1002 overshot the airport at Hilo, Hawaii, by 15 miles on February 13th, out of touch with air traffic control for more than 20 minutes at 21,000 feet, before finally turning back towards Hilo. The aircraft then made an uneventful landing. Officials are investigating a number of explanations, but the evidence strongly suggests the pilots may have dozed off during the short morning flight from Honolulu. FAA investigators told Honolulu's KITV that if the plane had suffered a communications failure, standard procedure dictated the aircraft stick to its flight plan and land at the destination airport at the scheduled time. Well, I guess not everybody's a morning person. Bombardier's research into the single-aisle airliner market has convinced it to move forward with its C-Series program. The company has confirmed that its board of directors Friday green-lighted the start of the sales effort for a new 110-seat plane, which will be the first five-abreast cabin airliner since the Boeing 717. Bombardier says the plane's market segment will be worth almost 6,000 sales over the next 20 years. The only competition right now comes from a smaller variants of the Boeing 737 and the Airbus A320, both of which have continued to sell well. The company says the use of advanced materials and engines, combined with fourth-generation aerodynamics, will produce up to 20% better fuel burn and up to 15% improved cash operating costs compared to current aircraft of similar size. The next step before committing to production is securing launch customers. Lufthansa, Qatar Airways, and ILFC have already publicly expressed interest. The plane could enter service by 2013. On a less cheerful note, Reuters reports negotiations between Bombardier and Scandinavian Airlines over landing gear problems with Q400 turboprops will end with a settlement worth $198 million U.S., applied toward the airline's pending purchase of 20 new Bombardier regional jets. As ANN reported, SAS dropped the twin turboprop regional airliner from its fleet on October 28th, a day after the airline's third landing incident involving a Q400 in just over 6 weeks. In each of those incidents, the aircraft experienced problems with deploying their right main gear. The plane had a reputation for reliability up to that point, and no similar problems occurred at any other airline flying the Q400. Still, Bombardier could not identify a single cause for all three failures. Two were found to have been caused by corroded bolts in the landing gear mechanism, and the third by an improvised hydraulic system repair made by SAS mechanics. SAS is partly owned by Sweden, Norway, and Denmark, and felt compelled to take the Q400s out of service after three incidents in rapid succession. The airline estimates the cost to replace its Q400s at between $140 and $160 million U.S. And finally, stupid pilot tricks are not limited to general aviation. The South China Sunday Morning Post reports that veteran pilot Ian Wilkinson was piloting a new Boeing 777-300ER from Payne Field, near Boeing's plant at Everett, Washington, to its new home in Hong Kong, when he reportedly came around and did a 275-knot low pass just 28 feet above the runway with gear up. Wilkinson, who is 55 years old and nearing retirement, was reportedly fired by the airline, Cathay Pacific, for doing the stunt without company approval. The case has become controversial with industry bloggers who say the practice is actually not uncommon. And note that 30 company VIPs were on board at the time, including the company's chairman. Wilkinson reportedly did get approval for the flyby from air traffic control. Apparently, Cathay Pacific bigwigs toasted Wilkinson when he reached Hong Kong, but their attitude changed when the video of the flyby wound up on YouTube. That video is rumored to have been purchased by the airline from its owner, resulting in its prompt removal from the web. Wilkinson is reportedly considering an appeal. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about when and how to tell your CFI he's making a mistake, and how CFIs are subject to the same human factors that students are trained to recognize. And if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.